Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. As always, we appreciate you joining us. We invite you to look with us in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Verses 10 through 20, Ephesians chapter 6. Father, we thank you for the wonderful privilege and the blessing and honor of knowing you and being a part of your family. Thank you, Lord, for calling us out of the world and into a new relationship with you and one another. And thank you, Lord, also for equipping us and preparing us to be a part of your army, the army of the Lord. And thank you, Father, for giving us wonderful weapons like the sword of the Spirit and prayer and other opportunities and tools whereby we're able to go out and carry out victory upon victory as we simply follow you, follow your word, and our vessels through which your Spirit can operate. Teach our hands to war. Teach us to be effective and mighty warriors, mighty men of God that glorify you in the way we do battle each and every day. And help us to take the spiritual battle in which we're in seriously, and teach us to see things as you would have us to see them, and to operate and to walk as you would have us to walk. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Once again, we do appreciate you choosing to be a part of our listening family. I'd like to encourage you to please take time to go to our website, AFR.net, and also you can download our app, AFR app, daily as well, and take American Family Radio with you wherever you may go. Also, of course, we continue to encourage you to take time to make use of our news department, One News Now. You can always stay up to date with the latest in the culture war from news, the news team of One News Now. And of course, the One News Now team, they do have a mobile app. It's free, and you can download it from your phone's app store. Hope you'll take time and opportunity to do that. And we want to remind you also, the American Family Association Christmas buttons are a great way to proclaim that Christmas season is all about Jesus Christ. This year, we're bringing back one of the most popular button designs that we've used in the past, and it declares, Jesus, he came for you. These buttons come in packs of 10, and we encourage you to wear a button to share the message of Jesus, and we urge you to give the rest away to friends, family, neighbors, and anyone else you might come, who you might cross paths with. Stop by the AFA store. The website is afastore.net. Again, afastore.net. To learn more about the buttons and or to order them. Hope you'll take time and opportunity to do that. We're blessed and honored to have as our phone guest today Pastor Sam Rohr. He's the director of the ministry American Pastors Network. Pastor Sam, how are you this morning?
Brother Joe, I am well, thank you, and it's a privilege to be with you and your listeners today.
Well, we appreciate you being with us, and of course, many of our listeners probably know your name as well as know about the ministry of the American Pastors Network. If you would, though, take a moment to reintroduce it, because there are those listeners who maybe they haven't caught it when you do air as well. Tell them about what the mission and the ministry of American Pastors Network is all about.
Well, Brother Joe, I'd appreciate that. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. really the focus of the American Pastors Network, really two things. It's to provide a framework, a network, that's in the name, a framework by which pastors who believe in these three things, the authority of Scripture, salvation by faith in Christ alone, and then thirdly, have the courage to preach the whole counsel of God, which is what the pulpit is commanded to do. God has kind of put in our hearts to be a framework, I hope, to those pastors who believe those things, Joe. Mm-hmm. And then secondarily, as a part of that, God laid in our hearts, we're only 6 years old now, but God laid in our hearts to help to try and demonstrate what it looks like for pastors, for those who are called into God's, as a minister of God, I was called into, and then I was called into pulpit afterward. So I was in office first, and then God called me to preach. And our other team are individuals who are evangelists or pastors. But we try and take the American Pastors Network and through our Stand in the Gap radio programs and Stand in the Gap TV programs to demonstrate what it looks like for a person called of God to take biblical principles, to apply the Word of God, which we believe speaks to every issue of life, and to take it and apply it to those issues that confront all of us in the culture, outside the walls of the church, in our families, and to boldly take and apply those things. So many of your listeners right now listen to American Family Radio may have listened, or if they haven't, perhaps they could, on Sunday evenings from 6 to 7 o'clock Central Time, on American Family Radio Network. We have our Stand in the Gap weekend program where we do just that. And it's been such a privilege to hear from so many AFR listeners across the country in that regard. But we have that, and then the national program, TV program, which is on available on several national networks. But that's where God has kind of put before us. We believe that if we face needs in this country, that God's plan is that it's through the bold preaching of the Word of God that is laid on the backs of those who are called in the pulpit. It's through the foolishness of preaching that lives, that hearts are changed, and that that families are healed and nations can be brought back into blessing. And so we said, let's put the attention where God puts the attention. That's on the pulpit. That's on the proclamation of the truth of God's Word, not part of it, but all of it. And that's really kind of in that area, Brother Joe, that God has called the American Pastors Network, and we invite pastors of all types and flavors, that they believe those things, become a part of us, stand with us together. There's more power standing together than alone, and I don't want our pastors to think, like Elijah did when he was in a cave, that he was the only one left. Mm-hmm. He's not the only one left, and God has 7,000-plus And we want to be a part of that and encourage those who also believe those things to stand with us. So that's a long answer to your short question, Brother Joe.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you sharing because, again, as you just mentioned, lots of our listeners have probably heard the broadcast on the weekend specifically, and some may have been able to catch it as you air your Monday through Friday on several other networks. Is that correct?
That is correct. We have an hour program live from noon to one every day, and people can pick that up on our free app if they want to. If they have an iPhone or Android, just put in Stand in the Gap and they can download it and listen there. The weekend program is really the best of the week of the program we take and put it together, and the TV programs then deal with other issues, but that's kind of what it is. But that's where they can find it.
Okay.
By going to standinthegapmedia.org, they can find all of the programs in archive form as well.
Okay. Well, I'm going to ask Pastor Sam, if you'll take a moment as we begin to pray for our listeners to have ears to hear what God would have them to hear. Of course, some of our listeners would be pastors, but a lot of them may not be pastors. But yet, we're all called to be warriors in the kingdom of God. And so God has something to say to every single listener. So would you pray for them as we begin?
I would be glad to do so. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you on behalf of this program and all of those who are listening to this program. No doubt, Lord, those who are listening are there because you've called them. They have ears to hear, hearts that would seek to be in alignment. I would pray, Lord, that you would give to all of those listening right now to this program the ability to discern and to understand. And may their hearts and their minds be already committed to respond to the truth of God's Word in obedience. And we pray that as we discuss certain things of great importance here to all of us, Lord, that it would be of an encouragement and would be an edification to those who are listening, so that individually and collectively as a family, more or less listening to this program, that there would be greater power, greater energy, greater vitality, greater strength, greater witness and testimony individually and collectively within families and in settings, all represented by people who are listening to this program right now. We put this before you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Sam. I want to ask first, would you tell our listeners about a campaign that you have going on? If I have the correct title, 52 Tuesdays of Prayer, is that the correct title?
It is. We were sensing, I think all of us listening right now sense that the real need in our nation, it's hard to describe it. We've never been this way before, so divided, mm-hmm. so walking away from truth. I think we all know or should sense, because it is happening, the real spiritual attack at the very roots, mm-hmm. the very biblical Judeo-Christian roots of our freedom that undergird our Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, and our religious freedom. All that we have is, it is under attack. And I think we all sense that, brother. And our sense was that if we are really serious about this, mm-hmm. and we understand our dependency upon the God of heaven, mm-hmm. Who is the source of our blessings, who's also the one who is governed by truth, who is truth, and is the one who will ultimately bestow discipline and judgment on people and nations, that if in time of trouble, which we are, we need to be going to him right now. And it's been my concern, Brother Joe, that sometimes we wait to pray until there's almost an emergency, until things get real bad, and then all of a sudden we pray an emergency prayer, and we hope that God will answer it. Mm-hmm. Our sense is that God answers the prayer of his people. He answers the prayer of a prepared remnant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that prepared remnant is not a remnant in a preparation that is a momentary decision.
Mm-hmm.
It's a life that's been evidenced by a series of choices, mm-hmm. choices to serve God, to put him first, to look within our hearts, to walk in obedience. And our sense is that we are wanting to call those in this nation who know truly the Lord as their Savior, for whom within them is the power to access the throne of grace and to go before God with power, to unite one with another, and allowing, and this is why the 52 Tuesdays is there, mm-hmm. allowing this natural window in which we are that leads up until an election, which is now 52 Tuesdays from yesterday, mm-hmm. November 3rd, 2020, will be the national election.
Mm-hmm.
And we know already that the news is dominated by everything's about the election already. People are running. People are talking. It's going to be dominated. And our sense is that it's a calendar event.
Pastor Sam, I'm going to have to jump in here. We're coming up on a break, and we'll pick up on the other side. We'll be back. Our phone guest today is Pastor Sam Rohr. He's the director of the ministry American Pastors Network. We'll be right back.
A million different ways I gotta trust, but there's only one decision: how to live, how to love. Jesus, because you are God and you're the God of my choices. Speak to me and I will run to your voice. Here I am in the noise, won't you lead me in my choices, my choices. I believe that faith is nothing if it isn't everything. Every heartbeat, every moment, whatever this day brings, this song I will sing. You are God and you're the God of my choices. Speak to me and I will run to your voice. Here I am in the noise, won't you lead me in my choice.
Music of J.J. Weeks, the song Choices. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Pastor Sam Rohr. He's the director of the ministry American Pastors Network. And Pastor Sam, you were in the middle of sharing about the mission behind the campaign 52 Tuesdays of Prayer. Would you pick up where you left off there?
Yeah, absolutely. And so glad for that. Going back to the reason for, we need prayer. Our nation's in trouble. We know that. Our families, our culture, all are under, many portions are broken. Others are under great stress. We need prayer. It is our sense that God's remnant, those who really know Christ as Savior, are the only ones that have actual assurance from God himself that he will answer their prayers. And so the 52 Tuesdays is an effort to tie into an event upcoming, which is an election 52 Tuesdays from yesterday at the time we're making this this program on November 3rd. That's the national election. Mm-hmm. We do not believe, for instance, that our life is all about politics, as some would say, but this is not a matter of that. This is a calendar event.
Mm-hmm.
We have the privilege in this country in which to be a part and to vote. We have a duty as Christians to be a part of it, but it is an event. It's a time. It's not a holy day, per se, but it's a day of opportunity mm-hmm. for all of us who are citizens. It's a day that will force every person who's listening to this program to make a decision about who they're going to vote for president, for members of Congress, for state assemblies, all of that. It is a major, major day. We know, and that is why it's going to consume so much attention. Our sense is that if we can be driven, and will be driven, as God's people to make a decision about a man or a woman for office, and we will have to, everybody will have to make a choice. They can't sit on the fence. That's the thing about a vote.
Mm-hmm.
You have to choose, and you either choose not to vote, or you're going to choose to vote for this one or for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Our sense, biblically, Brother Joe, is that when it comes to prayer, if we are not thinking in terms of what is our choice, my internal choice, our daily vote in our own lives relative to God himself,
mm-hmm.
are we going to follow God today? Are we going to be like Joshua in the Old Testament? As for me and my house, we will choose the Lord. Our sense is that let every Tuesday, as it comes up, see, well, from now until next year, be a day that reminds us not only of this upcoming time of physical forced choice for who will be our leaders, that we as God's people allow it to drive our minds and our heart to look in the mirror on those days, to join with us in prayer to God for this nation and have us recalibrate ourselves every Tuesday at least by saying, Lord, I choose to follow you. And if God's people do that, Brother Joe, I'm not worried about the election on November 3rd. We say put it together. So that's what it is, the 52 Tuesday prayer emphasis, allowing that calendar event to drive us, as we should be driven anyways, but to drive us to consideration of our choice for the Lord, and if we are going to walk with him and all of that, and have our hearts prepared as we enter into it, and then we can get into what God's requirements are for prayer. But we say, let's allow this to help drive us and to remind us of our ongoing necessity of choosing to follow God or choosing to follow ourselves.
Okay. Well, share with our listeners again the website for persons that want more information about the 52 Tuesdays of Prayer campaign, or if they're just wanting to learn more about what it involves. The website again, please.
I'm going to give two websites. One is AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's one that's geared for pastors, and one we talk about on the radio and TV is StandInTheGapMedia.org. StandInTheGapMedia.org takes the same place, and right now, if they were to go, and they will go under the media tab, they will find the press release that talks about what we're talking about right now. Soon to follow, very quickly, there will be a place there where people will be able to go and actually sign their names and become a part of a growing group of lights across the country that are saying, we are standing, we are praying, and we're going to commit to be to move our lives into conformity of obedience, which is really what God says needs to happen if he's going to answer our prayers.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to take a moment specifically to pray for believers to really take to heart what you're sharing, getting involved with this prayer campaign or maybe other prayer campaigns, but getting involved with praying and interceding for the cause of the kingdom of God. Father, thank you, Lord, for Pastor Sam. Thank you for the American Pastors Network. Thank you, Lord, for this specific campaign of 52 Tuesdays of Prayer. Father, stir every listener to plug in and to become a part of either this prayer campaign or a prayer campaign that helps and encourages us to pray much and seriously for our nation, for our leaders, and for the upcoming election, and for your will to be done. Help us to recognize, Lord, that you clearly called us to take prayer very seriously. In fact, you told us in your word to pray without ceasing. You've called us to be a people that fill our lives with prayer. Teach us how to live a lifestyle where we do that, to pray without ceasing. Teach us how to pray effectively and according to your will. Help us to not waste time by praying insignificant or praying amiss, as the word of God refers to as well. Teach our hands to war. Teach us to be the prayer warriors you would have each and every one of us to be, praying for ourselves, our families, our communities, and for our nation and for our leaders. Lord, more and more empower us to be the praying church you want us to be. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, Pastor Sam, I want to ask you about this too. You know, the passage I read at the beginning of the broadcast was Ephesians chapter 6, which deals with spiritual warfare. And I want to ask if you'll share your thoughts on just this reality. You know, the fact is, you know, if you ask different people to describe, well, just to kind of describe the way life is, you know, some people might say things you've heard, life is a beach, life is a playground, any of a number of things. But I think the Bible very clearly and powerfully draws out for us in Ephesians 6 that, like it or not, life is a battleground. It's a battlefield. And the wisest people are well-equipped warriors who understand spiritual warfare from a biblical perspective. But would you share your thoughts on spiritual warfare in relation to that matter?
No, absolutely, Brother Joe. I mean, the scripture tell Paul, the Apostle Paul tells us that we wrestle. It's a wrestling term. It's not a war term, but the passage you talked about in Ephesians talks about it. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, spiritual wickedness, and high places. And that is important for us to understand that as we, as God's people, are here on this earth, a physical world around us, we are ambassadors of a king.
That's
right. We need to view ourselves as ambassadors who are here on a mission, a mission to carry out the wishes of the one who sent us. That's King Jesus. He is our sending power, authority, and we're here under his authority to carry out his truth and his mission and this world. But our citizenship is on that side. We are moving through. We're going to heaven. Now, while we are sitting here and we see around us a physical world, and we interrelate with people who we can reach out and touch, what Paul is saying is that there's a far greater, bigger world that are occupied by forces that we can't see. It's in that spirit world. That's that spiritual wickedness in high places. It's Satan himself. It's his demons, the fallen angels that came around and rebelled against God himself and against God's authority. That world is what's out there working in the hearts of people. When we look and see subversions of justice, when we work and we see things that are happening, it's spiritual wickedness in high places. And so the point Paul is saying is that we have to have that on, that whole armor of God. If we think that we can engage the unseen world, the powers of satanic world, with our own thoughts in our head or our physical strength, our ability to take our hand and close it around something, that kind of strength, we'll lose the battle. Because that's not really where the battle is.
That's right.
It's a spiritual battle, and only the Holy Spirit of God can give us the power, can give us the wisdom to understand even who the enemy is, and to be able to discern deception or discern truth from deception. All of those things, the Word of God is what gives us the power to do that. The reliance upon the Holy Spirit of God, who lives within every believer, who generally knows Christ as Savior, that Holy Spirit within us is the one that we must access. And that's why, if we do not understand that, there is no power in living. There's no effectiveness in as lights or salt in this world. And there is certainly no way we're going to stand before God someday as his ambassador and give an account. And for him, he's going to be able to say, well done. If we don't understand the enemy, if we don't understand the tactics of the enemy, which all comes out of God's Word, if we don't understand that, we will never operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, which is accessed through prayer. And that's why Paul talks about so important. We access the power of the Holy Spirit through prayer. And then the Lord gives us the preparation for that, because God wants to answer our prayer, but there are many prayers of God's people that he says he won't even hear because we're not in the right condition. That's all of these things work together.
That's right. That's right. Verse 13 in Ephesians 6 says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. In other words, all the different pieces of spiritual equipment that God had talked about, just like you alluded to, each one is important. We must read and study the Word of God. We must apply truth. Truth is not just meant for us to learn academically. It's to be heard, consumed into our mind and our heart, and applied. We don't just learn to say we've learned. We're to apply it as well. And part of applying that is through being a people who look to God in prayer to work through us and to accomplish his will. And God can use all of us, but we do need to be well-prepared warriors to be used maximally by the Holy Spirit. So, again, thank you for sharing thoughts there. And, you know, you alluded to this as well. You mentioned, for example, that you were in politics before you started preaching. I think I heard you say, correct?
That is correct. I was a minister of God. God called me there first in 1992 before he called me to have to preach.
Okay. And see, that's You know, I tell you too, Pastor Sam, I want to ask you to share your thoughts on this, because this is a powerful truth. You know, you hear people talk about, they use the term separation of church and state, and they talk about, well, don't mix faith with politics. You know, the reality is God is to permeate everything on every level in every circumstance, and we see powerfully why just the whole idea of politics being separate from faith is so untrue, because when God brought Israel out of Egypt, he was their king. He was their government. He was their king, their leader, as well as he was God. And they decided at a certain point in time they wanted a human king, and of course one that came with all the faults and the frailties of humanity. They had the perfect king, and they rejected him. And so I think it's important that we understand government and faith are to be thoroughly entwined, because real government flows from God. But would you share your thoughts further on that?
I would love to. This was most helpful to me when I was in office, and I began to think through, Brother Joe, when I stand before God as someone who has been in public office, how is God going to judge me?
Pastor Sam, I'm going to have to jump in again. We're coming up on a break, and we'll pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guest is Pastor Sam Rohr. He's the director of the ministry American Pastors Network. We'll be right back.
Fred Hammond, If My People. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Pastor Sam Rohr. He's the director of the ministry American Pastors Network. Pastor Sam, if you'll pick up right there where you left off as you were sharing about your experience in both the world of politics and a man of the gospel as well.
Absolutely. You know, when I went into office, I said, I'm going to encourage everyone who's listening right now to know that no matter who you are, man or woman, adult or child, each of us will give an account to God individually for how we respond in our relationship to how God created us. Now, every one of us, moms and dads, God is going to give us and hold us accountable for how we have communicated the truth of God's word in demonstrating the power of Christ in the church between husband and wife, which is what the picture of, and how well we relate what God has done to our children. We're going to give an account for that. Pastors in the pulpit are going to give an account. Every spiritual leader is going to give an account. Well, when I got into office, Brother Joe, I'm saying I'm a minister of God, Romans 13. Mm-hmm. How is God going to hold me accountable? Upon what is he going to judge me? And I began to study through Scripture. I had never had any training on this. I never heard it preached. But in the process of doing so, I find that a person in office as a minister of God, Romans 13, diakonos, the word from which we get deacon or servant of God in Romans 13, talks about a person in office being a deacon or a servant of God, vertical relationship, but also a deacon or a servant to the people, from where we get the word that those in office are to be service to the people, horizontal relationship. And I said, wow. But then as I looked through Scripture, to sum it all up, a person in office throughout Scripture, the same responsibilities, except for one, are identical with the pastor in the pulpit. They include such thing as feeding the people, shepherding the flock. There's an aspect of protection of the people. Now think about it. It's the same thing for moms and dads. It's the same thing we're supposed to do with them, with our children. Same in office. The distinctive between the person, a minister of God in office, and a minister of God in the pulpit, as I've been able to find it through Scripture, is that the pulpit is uniquely commanded to preach the Word. The preaching of the Word is to the pulpit, which is why it is the tip of a spear. But when I looked at the minister of God, I say, all right, all of those things, that's so close to a pastor in a pulpit. It, matter of fact, the same words are used. It was in verse 6 of Romans 13 that really triggered my mind, because the word minister of God, in verse 6 of Romans 13, there's three usages of the word minister in the first six verses of Romans 13. The first two are diakonos, vertical, servant of God relationship, servant of God, horizontal relationship to the people. The third one is not diakonos. The third word is the Greek word liturgos, and it's the word from which we get liturgy, or literally, leader in worship. You know, a profound thought is that every person in a position of authority, civil authority, is absolutely, above all things, is to let the people know that there's a higher authority than him, and that's God is supreme. And that individual, leader in worship, and I think of Nebuchadnezzar of old, we can all remember him. Nebuchadnezzar was a proud individual. God drove him out into the field. His hair grew long, and he was down on his hands and knees. But at some point, God brought back to Nebuchadnezzar his mind. And Nebuchadnezzar there says, when he arose, he stood up, and he said, when his mind came back to him, he lifted up his hands to heaven, and he said, and he did the first thing that every person in office should do, and that is he lifted his hands to heaven and he said, I do now extol the God of heaven, who alone is able to lift up and to put down and abase all of those who he pleased. Nebuchadnezzar, when his right mind came back to him, did the first thing that every person in a position of civil authority ought to do, and that is to give praise and glory to the God of heaven. That changed my life and my understanding and the confidence that I had of that I, as an individual in office, I am there as God's ambassador, I am there as a believer, and every person will at some point in public office, if they don't give credence and glory to the God of heaven now, they will at some point bow the knee to Jesus Christ, who will ultimately bring every authority in time and throughout the nations. They will bow the knee and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is, in fact, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So that nonsense that there is to be no mention of God by those in office is a lie from the pit of hell, and it is not what God intends, not at all. Those are some things that changed my life in office, and I think should affect everybody who's been thinking right now that, you know, why are we to pray for those in authority? Well, that we live peaceful lives, and they're going to give an account to God. Well, it's important to have people in office who understand who God is, because when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the evil bear rule, we mourn, and we understand now what it is, because they don't recognize God as the God of heaven.
That's right. That's right. And I appreciate Pastor Sam you sharing that, because it's such a powerful truth to recognize that, like, just as God revealed to you, God is supposed to permeate everything, clearly, definitely government and everything else as well. And I think of this, that, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, he's God and he's the Son of God as well. He came into this world. But one of many of the many, many powerful lessons of his life is that Jesus was the greatest king that ever walked the earth, but he never did anything apart from the direction of his Father. Never. And so all of the kings should take Jesus as their role model. They're to seek God fervently with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I think of this in addition, you know, of course, Christ is our greatest role model, but another towering figure throughout the Word of God is King David. Imperfect, but a king. And you might ask, why was he such a huge figure in all of Scripture? Well, one of the issues was he was a God's king, God's prophet, and God's worship leader. He was a man after God's heart. Every leader, governmental and spiritual, should be men and women after God's heart as well. And so it comes out powerfully in Scripture time and time again as well. So I want to ask if you'll pray for believers to grasp some of the truths that you just shared, because it's so important that we stop separating things in our minds, saying, well, politics is dirty, believers should stay out of it. And so many times those kind of deceptive thoughts are discussed and talked amongst people. Pray for them to help them to understand that God is to be in everything. Would you lift that up in prayer?
I will indeed. Heavenly Father, I would pray for those who are listening right now to this program. Lord, the power of understanding your authority and the fact that you laid out a plan for nations. You laid a plan for society. Jesus. You laid out the plan, the concept of what a family ought to be, of husband and wife and children. You've laid out the plan for what every individual needs to do in their own relationship. Ultimately, Lord, every position of authority, every person are going to give an account to you. Yes. You've created the concept of authority. You created the master plan for society. You created those who are in office, and you've said you raise up those you will, and you put down those you will. Lord, there is no area of life. Help our people to understand that there is no area of life that is not to be dominated and influenced by the truth of Scripture. There is no area that in which we are involved, anyone who's listening right now, that should not be touched by the salt and the light of the gospel and God's word, because your blessings, O Lord, hinge upon the obedience of your people, the obedience of people in the positions of authority, moms and dads doing what they are supposed to be doing biblically to train up their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, individuals to make their choices throughout the day based on your moral law, those in office lifting up their hands, giving credit to God above for what they're doing, and to make decisions and votes and policies that are consistent with biblical truth. And certainly, Lord, for those in the pulpit who are there to communicate and to preach the word, Lord, I would pray that pastors in the pulpit who are there would not be intimidated by the world, would not be given into fear, but would be with great boldness stand upon the truth upon which their feet are to stand and proclaim it and proclaim all of the Word of God. Lord, this is what you told your people in your nation of Israel. This is what you've told our nation or any nation that ever hopes to get the blessing of God. And, of course, that is God, that is your goal. You want to bless people with prosperity. You want to bless people with children. You want to bless nations with security. But all of those things, Lord, hinge on how we relate to who you are and what you have said are conditions for your blessings. May we grasp this powerful thing, O Lord, this understanding, and apply it in our lives each day, each moment of choices that we make. May we make them in alignment with your word for your glory. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Sam. I appreciate that. We don't have but just a few minutes left. I want to ask if you'll just briefly share your thoughts. And you used the term earlier, the term bold preaching. You know, boldness and courage is so important in the Christian life, yet sadly, we see in our culture today a lot of cowardice coming from many different directions. People who know what's right, but they're cowardly to the point where they're not applying or standing up and speaking what they know to be right. Would you speak to why it's so critical that we be bold and courageous as followers of Jesus Christ?
Well, I go to one passage right off that I can think of. When King David, and you already referenced him, passed off the kingdom to Solomon, at two different points, Solomon was going to build the temple. And God said, there's a task, David said to Solomon, there's a task bigger than me. God's given it to you, Solomon, to build this temple for the worship of God, for the testimony of God around the world. And he said to him, to do this, he said, know God, know thou the God of thy fathers. Serve him with a pure heart. Seek him, and then he concludes with saying, and have courage and do it. You know, to me, that's where it comes down. We can know the truth, and we can even know God. But if we don't have the courage and the commitment to actually do it, to do what he says, it's of no avail. If Solomon would not have had the courage to actually put the materials that his father David had assembled, if he had not actually done it, there would have been no temple. God has given us the materials, all of us. He's given us the tools. We have to do it. That's our part of the process. That's where courage comes into it. And it's just the fact of courage equals doing it, not sitting around thinking about it or being afraid to go out into the world and just live as we ought to as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Nothing gets done without doing it. And that's about as simple as I think. That's what God wants us to do, brother.
That's right. That's right. Pastor Sam, our time is gone. Thank you so much for being with us and sharing about the work with American Pastors Network.
You're welcome, Brother Joe. Good to be with you.
Thank you. Thank you for being a part of our listening family. Please pray for Pastor Sam Rohr and the ministry of American Pastors Network that's doing great work to impact pastors and the kingdom of God. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.